today. And over the last few weeks, we've talked some about the basics of discipleship. The basics of discipleship, things that we want every person here to devote themselves to as we follow after Jesus. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about the big picture. What God is doing in the world is that He is on a mission. He's on a mission to bring glory to Himself, and He does that most clearly through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is on a mission to recreate people who will glorify Him as He made them to. And so that is what the gospel is all about. And so as we bring the gospel to new people, the glory of God spreads. But also, as the gospel changes us, the glory of God spreads in us and creates a desire inside of our hearts to have a relationship with God. That's what He made you for, was to know Him and to delight in Him. And so He's given you an opportunity to delight in Him daily by having a personal relationship with Him. And so we want to emphasize that as being the priority of discipleship, is a relationship with God the Father. But as I mentioned, we are a work in progress. We're all changing. The gospel, as it saturates us daily, as we bring ourselves to the foot of the cross, God is making us more like His Son daily. And so we sang a little while ago, we sang Redeemed. You know, You set me free, right? And He goes on to say, that one that I used to be, right? The one that I used to be, I don't have to be him anymore because his day is long dead and gone. Well, we know there's still remnants of that person in us, don't we? There's still remnants of that old man, but God is changing that old man into a new man. He is daily setting me free from sin and everything that would slow me down in the race of following Jesus Christ. He's making me new. And that's the second part of what God is doing, and that's the second part of what we're emphasizing to the church, is that saturate yourself with the gospel and be changed from the old person into the new. And the third thing is what we're here to talk about today, and it's that God has given us a place inside of what we call a church, a gathering of people who are on mission together to participate in what God is doing in the world and in what God is doing here amongst this local body of believers. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3, and read through verse 8. See, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes this: "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we ask that you would speak clearly to us through it. Move with your Spirit in this place, and lead us, God, to use our gifts for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, as I mentioned, God gives us a place to serve. That's His gift to us. He gives us a place to serve and a people to love, and that is what a church is. And so we call this place Cazenovia Park Baptist Church. And some people, it might seem like a building or an institution, but really what it is a group of people. It doesn't matter where we meet. It's about a people who are joined together by the Holy Spirit to be changed more into the image of Christ, to know God, and to serve one another and love one another and be changed, to be changed into the likeness of Jesus together. And I have met countless confessing Christians who think that they have very little use for the church. And they could say things like, you know, I can grow just fine on my own. You know, I can worship God just as well in nature. And a dozen other things that you might hear people say about the church. Well, you can grow on your own. And you certainly can worship God out in nature, and I hope that you do. But the New Testament knows nothing of a Christian who is not intimately connected with other Christians. I mean, you just don't find it. You don't find that hermit who is flourishing and growing, right? We are made for relationship with God and with other people. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that this connection with one another, this joining together of God's people, is necessary for your growth. And so if you really want to grow in Christ, you need to be intimately connected with other people. And I want to emphasize three main points from our text that help us to understand God's design in the church and our place in it. These three things are: every person is dependent, every person is necessary, and every person is different. The first one: every person is dependent. And so when I say dependent, mainly I am talking about our dependence on God, that He is the one that we are dependent on. We are needy creatures, but we're also dependent on each other. We need each other. And that's the way that God has designed the church, that no person is an island unto themselves. And no person has all the gifts to where you can build yourself up. We need one another. And so God has made it so that you're not able to grow into a mature follower of Jesus on your own. And He brings Christ followers together, giving each person certain gifts, but also giving them certain deficiencies. And so God has made you with certain abilities to contribute to the body, but God has also made it so that you lack certain things so that you need other people. So I need what you're able to do, and you need what I'm able to do. And people who know that they are dependent on each other and on God have the certain character in them that is called humility. When you know that you're dependent, it makes you humble. And this is what Paul says in verse 3. He says, For the grace given to me, I say to everyone not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. And so Paul, this is a man who is probably the greatest leader the Christian church has ever had. I think he was probably the most gifted man the church has ever had. We talk about sometimes, like, how many gifts do you think that we have? We might have one. I think Paul had multiple gifts as an apostle. He was an extremely gifted man. He was an extraordinary thinker. He understood God, the Bible, the gospel better than other leaders, but he lumps himself in here with everybody else as a man who has received grace. I say by the grace given to me. He has a proper perspective of himself, and so he might be all these things, but he understands where it came from. It all came from God. It would have been possible for Paul to begin elevating himself over other people. He could have done that in his mind. Because he was able to do more, he was able to do better than other people, he could have had an inflated view of his own ability, couldn't he? And isn't that what happens in the world that you live in? When somebody is more gifted than other people, they eventually kind of elevate themselves, not just by position, but oftentimes just in their mind. They become inflated with themselves. And that's the very thing that Paul says here that we are not to do. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. As a person who understands that everything you have has been given to you by grace, it is all a gift of God. And so if you are very able, and you start to think of yourself as self-sufficient, that you are not dependent on other people, you have taken yourself outside the realm of what Christian service is all about. Taking yourself outside of what following Jesus is all about. You are a dependent creature. And you are supposed to be deficient in some ways because God has gifted somebody else in the body to build you up. We are needy, needy people. So we don't have anything to boast about. Because anything that is in us that is spiritually good is from God. When we think that way, we won't inflate ourselves in our own minds. We won't think too highly of ourselves. You'll never be too high of your own opinion of your own person, because you know that everything that you have is from God's grace. So we'll never get too high, but we should also never be too low. That's what sober judgment is, right? You're never too high and you're never too low. You're just kind of right there in the middle where you're supposed to be, thinking rightly about yourself. And the reason that you shouldn't think too lowly is because you are necessary. That's the second thing. You're necessary. Every person here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do not think that you are not needed in some way. Everybody is. You are necessary. Every person here contributing with what God has given to them. You're needed. No matter how unimportant you think that you are, or maybe how unimportant that anybody else thinks that you are vital to the health of this church. So you're necessary. Paul gives us a great analogy here in these verses to help us understand the way a church works. He likens it to a body. Look at verses 4 and 5. What a great illustration that he uses here. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." He's talking about our physical bodies. We have many members, many parts of the body, all of them needed. They don't all have the same function. "So we, though we are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So he likens a church, a spiritual body under the headship of Jesus Christ, to a physical body, the way it is supposed to work in unison and harmony together. Each part doing its own function for the good of the whole. So all the parts of your body, they don't all do the same thing, but they each have a job to do that is needed. Just like a body needs eyes to see, needs hands to touch and pick things up, feet to move it about, hands to write with, this church needs you. This church needs you so that mature followers of Jesus Christ are formed here, and you need the church for the same thing. This means that it is necessary for a person not to just attend a place of worship on Sunday mornings. That's not what church is all about. It's not just that I get up and I get dressed and I make my appearance. I sing a few songs. I listen to a guy get up there and talk. And I think in some people's minds that's what a church has become. But that is not from the Spirit's leading. That is from man. Not what a church is all about. And if that's all we get at a church, we're going to be very imbalanced Christians, just like a person who would only have one leg. Very imbalanced. Thinking of it another way, let's say that there are 100 people in this room. I don't know how many people are here this morning, but let's just say that there are 100. And we each have been given a piece to a puzzle, a 100-piece puzzle. We all have a piece. And if only 10, just say 10, 20, 30 people come out here into the Welcome Center and collect those pieces together to try to form a picture, we're not going to be able to see very clearly what that puzzle is trying to show us, are we? We all need to contribute our piece to it so that it can be whole, working together in unison to make something bigger than ourselves. And so each person here is needed. You have a function. You have a piece to the puzzle, a part of the body that has been given by God specifically to you, making you necessary. And if you don't do it, the whole body suffers for it. You have to be using your gift, just like you want your hands to operate properly, just like you want your ears to hear with. We need every person here doing their job. So we won't accomplish all the good that God has given us to do if you don't. We won't mature and grow into adulthood as we were designed to do. And God will not be glorified as He should be if you are not contributing with the grace that God has given to you. That means we all need to be using our gifts. We're dependent on each other. See, I may have a gift to teach, maybe lead people to understand God's truth, but I may not have the gift of mercy, and I may not. And if you do have that gift, and you aren't using it, somebody needing mercy at that time isn't getting it. And because they might have come to me and I wasn't able to minister to them as effectively as you could have had you been using your gift. And what a beautiful thing that God has done by making it this way. In some places, maybe in some churches, people believe that the gifted people are the ones that are on the stage. They've been given the gifts and they minister to the people. Or maybe it's the people who are getting paid to do the job. And so when things go well, where does all the praise go? It goes to those that are out in front, those that are leading worship, those that are preaching, those that are speaking. And it's the same way when things go sour, isn't it? And I'm not saying that people who are using their gifts out in front should never be honored for their ministry or even get some blame when things aren't going the way that they should go. What I'm saying is that the health and success of any church is dependent on all the parts doing what they have been assigned by God. That is what a healthy church is. When everybody is using their gift for the good of the whole, that will make a healthy church. He didn't give the gifts to a select few, because everybody is necessary. Every person here who is a follower of Jesus is a minister. You are a minister, gifted by God, taken into His service, supplied everything that you need to make a difference in the world that God has made, and certainly here in this church. You are necessary. And so everybody is dependent. Everybody is necessary, just like the parts of the body are necessary. Every person is also different. Different. And I think this is obvious from what we see here in our passage. Look at verse 6. Look at what Paul says here. Having gifts that differ. Gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Then he goes on to list the different gifts that are placed inside of a church. We're supposed to be different. We're not all supposed to be the same. I mean, look around. We're not, are we? We're not the same. We talk different, right? At least I do. We talk different. We look different. We come from different backgrounds, different family situations. We're of different color. We are supposed to be different. We were made by God that way, and that glorifies Him. Now, we might have a common purpose. We might have a common goal, but the beauty of what God has done is He's taken all these different parts, people who probably should not in any other situation be together. I don't know how many times I've said this, but it's true, is that there is no other gathering in Buffalo on any other day of the week where this group of people would come together for something other than this. That is a work of the hand of God. We're supposed to be different. And it glorifies God when we all come together to do something different for each other, to build one another up, and to bring glory to God, not just in this church, but out in the community. It's a beautiful thing. And God has designed it that way. And so we need to be different. We need to embrace our differences. And see, I can only see through the lens of a teacher. That's the way I approach everything, because that's what God has given me to do. And I thrive when I can sit down for long periods of time, and I can study, and I can prepare for when I can bring something else before a group of people that I hope will encourage them. That's where I'm thriving. That's where I'm getting excited. And some of you all are probably hearing that thinking, man, I don't ever want to do that. You know, I don't ever want to be left alone for hours at a time looking at the Bible, all right? But you've been gifted some other way that I've not. And I need you, because I've got all kinds of deficiencies. I need you to be doing your function to build me up. That's the way it's supposed to work in here. We're all doing our part. We're all supposed to be embracing and using our differences to help one another. Maybe you're very compassionate. Maybe you're that very compassionate person and you notice all the problems that everybody else is experiencing and you feel their pain. Does that describe anybody here? I know it does. Some of you all are very compassionate people and you want to help and you want to meet those needs that you see around you, and you start to think that everybody else should feel like you feel. And you start to wonder, why isn't everybody ministering like I want to minister? It's because you have been made different. We're not all supposed to be doing and feeling the same thing at the same time, so God can minister to more people in that way. Maybe you're an evangelist who just can't help but talk to people about Jesus everywhere you go. You just can't help it. And you get frustrated with those people that don't have the same boldness you do. You look around and say, why isn't everybody talking to everybody about Jesus like I am? And you start to get frustrated. You start to get concerned. This isn't an evangelistic church. Maybe you are specially gifted by God with an extra boost of evangelism. Maybe that's the case. And you need to embrace that you are different and everybody else is different from you, supposed to be doing our own particular function in the church. And so our differences are a strength to be embraced, not an aggravation to be overcome. And so when we look around and we see different parts doing different things and being concerned and burdened with things that I'm not, that is not something to be overcome. It is something to be embraced. Because that means that God is at work amongst us, ministering to more people. If everybody was a teacher, what would we all do? Look around for somebody to teach, right? And if everybody was compassionate, we'd just be ministering constantly to each other, maybe not bringing truth to one another. Again, a very imbalanced body. But God knew what He was doing when He gifted the church differently. Differently. And so the church is to be a place where there is unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. We embrace that. We're excited about it. We're thankful for it. Because again, we do. We look different, don't we? And we act different. And God has gifted us differently. But in that beautiful diversity, God brings us together for a common purpose. To grow as followers of Jesus, to become more holy, to bring more and more glory to God. That's what that diversity does. So I don't need you to think like me in everything. I need you to think like you, and vice versa. I need you to help me see things from a different perspective, right? And you need other people around you to help you see from a different point of view. That's what God is doing in His church. And so we need to embrace our differences. And for God to use this church, I'm talking about specifically not just about the whole body of Christ, but this particular local body of Jesus Christ here in South Buffalo, for God to use this church to accomplish His mission of bringing the gospel to every man, woman, and child in this community, we need Him to raise up a variety of gifts. We need more evangelists. We need more leaders. We need more compassionate people who want to minister to specific groups in our community. We need those things to happen, all working together toward that goal. So we're different, and that's a good thing. So I want to close this morning by asking you to do three things. Three things. Concerning this area of discipleship as far as your spiritual gift. Three things. The first one is, be a healthy member of the body. Be a healthy church member. I'm not specifically talking about you having to join a church and have your name on a roll. We have that here. And there are some things that are important about becoming a member, but what I mean is you are part of this body. And that people here understand that you are part of this place. And you need to be a healthy member of this body. And I've heard somebody say that a healthy body, about a physical body here, a healthy body is one that you don't notice. Right? You know what I mean by that? And so your body is healthy when you don't notice it. It's just working like it's supposed to, right? A few weeks ago, I began to get a sore spot on my foot. And before that, I didn't think about my feet. You know, I didn't think about them. I just used them when I needed them. I walked around, you know. I got up and used my feet like I was supposed to because they were healthy. But once I got that sore spot on the bottom of it, I started noticing my foot. And it's not necessarily a good thing to notice it, right? I realized how important it was to have feet that don't hurt and how much I needed it to be healthy. And so the primary concern of each person here as you join together with this local body is first that you are intentionally investing in your own spiritual health. That is so important. That you are intentionally investing in your own spiritual health. Because if you are not a growing Christian who is connected intimately to the Father, that you have a strong personal relationship daily with God, that's not who you are, and you're not growing in the grace of the gospel, and you're not connecting with other members of the body and living and growing relationships, but instead you're living in secret sin. You're living in sin, doing unloving and unholy things, things that dishonor Jesus Christ and His name. Nobody else knows it, but God knows it, and it's affecting your spiritual health. If that describes you, it almost doesn't matter what your gift is at that point. It's all going to be messed up. You're not going to be functioning properly. Just like my foot, if it gets sick, it is having to be carried by the whole. It's being carried by the rest of the body. So you will be. You're going to slow the rest of the body down if you are not spiritually healthy. And even worse, not just slowing the rest of the body down, you'll bring a kind of spiritual sickness to the others. And so if you are not already doing this, begin making yourself, invest yourself in becoming a healthy member of this church. That's the first thing. Number two, and these are obvious really, discover your spiritual gift. You need to know how you're gifted. Some of you here know how God has gifted you. You've already seen fruit from however He has given you grace. But some of you don't. You don't know how God has gifted you. You just come to church and interact with other people and go home and you come back and do it again. We want you to know your spiritual gift. And so today we put a spiritual gift inventory in the bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin, there's some out here in the Welcome Center. Take a look at that. Use it. Fill it out. According to what really is true, it's going to ask you some questions about yourself, just trying to help you understand who you are and how God has gifted you. And it's not going to help you or other people if you don't answer it truthfully. I know sometimes we might answer these questions like how we want to be perceived. We're going to answer those questions how we want others to think of us, but it's not helping anybody if you do that. So as you fill this out and go through that inventory, remember that it's only a guide. It's only a guide to try to help you discover what God has done in you, how He has gifted you. There might be a better way of discovering your spiritual gift, but it's a little bit harder to discern or understand. It's just by asking yourself a couple of questions, okay, and thinking on this. The first one would be, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? If you really think, how has God made you? What has He made you to be passionate about? What are you excited about? What do you love to do? What are the kind of people that you love to help? And so when you hear about some of the ministries here in this church, does anything particular grab your attention? But it might not even be participating in a specific ministry. Maybe you just love to encourage people. You're the type of person who loves to pick up the phone and call somebody to see how they're doing. You love to be the person to write letters to other people just to let them know that you're thinking about them. There's all sorts of ways that God has gifted His church. Some of them are not going to be out in front. Some of them will not even have a job on Sunday morning because church is far more than Sunday mornings. It's every day of the week we are called to participate in this body in some way. So what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? And the second thing, or the second question, is where is God giving you opportunities to make a difference in the lives of other people? So not only are you passionate about it, but God has opened some doors for you to begin living out and doing something about that passion. He's brought fruit. Plain and simple, He's brought fruit. So you love to teach, and God has blessed that. People have learned. You love to give compassion and show mercy. You love to encourage and exhort people, and people have been encouraged and exhorted. You notice when other people, there's something wrong with that person that maybe used to not happen. You notice that, you know, maybe they've drifted away a little bit, and you begin becoming concerned that they might be living in sin in some way, and you confront them. Not to just try to be confrontational, not to just try to win a fight or an argument, because you love that person. And you want to see them drawn back to Jesus. And when you've done that, they have been. So where have you noticed that God has brought fruit from your passions, your burdens? Ask yourself those questions and try to discover your spiritual gift. Lastly, the last encouragement for us today is use it. You know, it's one thing to know your gift. It's great if you know it, but it does nobody any good if you're not using it. So begin using your spiritual gift. And so for this church to be what God wants it to be, we need everybody functioning differently, dependently, using the gift that God has given to them. Like a great machine that is working in unison. It's well oiled, working together toward a common purpose. That's what a church is supposed to be like. We're all doing what God has designed us to do. And so again, more than likely, your gift will not give you a certain job on a Sunday morning. It's going to be needed to use throughout the week, the other 6 days. We need the church being the church in your workplace, in your home, as you make your way around the community. Begin looking for opportunities to use the gift that God has given to you. And if you think that you don't have the time for that, ask God how you can begin making time for that, because this has to become a priority. Otherwise, church will be something that you just make time for once a week at 11 a.m. You show up, you talk to a few people, and you go home. But God wants this church to be far more than that. We're supposed to be a group of Christ followers who are joining Him to do ministry every day of the week. That's what we're supposed to be here. Now, this begins to happen with regularity. People are healthy members of the body. They've discovered their gifts and now they're using them. God will do extraordinary things here. And He'll do extraordinary things through us in our community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time that we've been able to gather here this morning. We pray, God, that Your Word has encouraged us to see that we are dependent on You and on each other. We don't have all the gifts unto ourselves. God, You have placed them around us. And You want this church to build us all up into a mature man, to a holy person, a holy body, who is on mission together, not just to draw people to Jesus, but to spread Your glory throughout the community as we draw people to Jesus. So God, would You please do that great work here? For those that do not know their spiritual gift, please make it clear. Help them, God, to know it and to use it. For those, Lord, who right now are not healthy members of the body, please rearrange things in their lives by Your grace, God, that makes them so. And please use Cazenovia Park Baptist Church. Use this place, God, to spread Your glory in South Buffalo. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.